I would imagine that all of you have seen a television program called America's Funniest Videos. It's been around, I think, pretty much forever. It's one of the few programs on TV that you can safely watch with your family. It's good, fun viewing. If you happen to not be familiar with that program, viewers upload videos of goofy, silly mistakes, pratfalls, practical jokes, pets and children doing funny things, and it's usually very entertaining. Now, if you've watched the program a few times, you know that there are certain things you can kind of anticipate when a video starts, and it can be a very educational program as well. For example, you could learn never to hold a piñata when a child is swinging a bat. You learn that nothing good ever seems to happen on a trampoline. And that if you're over 40, never let anyone video you on a skateboard or a pogo stick, especially if you're indoors on a pogo stick. Nothing good is going to come. When you see somebody cut down a tree and it falls down on top of him or on his car or on his garage, you see someone riding a bicycle down a homemade ramp and crashing through it into the river, you wonder, why do they even think they could do that? I'm thankful personally that none of my embarrassing or stupid mistakes have ever been caught on video, except maybe for some sermons. But all of us have done things where we look back and we think, that was really dumb. The title of the sermon this afternoon is, What Was I Thinking? We've all made those kind of mistakes. We do something we hadn't really thought all the way through, or we fail to consider the likely consequence of something that we're trying to do, or maybe trying not to do. Some of those mistakes are just silly and embarrassing. But you know, other mistakes can be made if we're thoughtless, and goofs that can really have serious consequences. Now, there are a lot of reasons why we might make these kinds of poor decisions. It might be based on ignorance. You know, like I said, we just didn't know that we couldn't do that. Or a bad decision might be based on emotion. You know, if you do something rashly out of anger without thinking it through, then you're probably going to regret whatever it is you've done. And honestly, sometimes we do these kind of things because we're just plain stubborn. We want something. We want something to be the way we want it to be. We want it to be a certain way, and we're just going to do it no matter what. And sometimes the what is not the best consequence. There's a vital quality of character that we can develop so that we'll never be on AFV. And more importantly, we can avoid poor decisions that are not so funny, that can be harmful and hurtful to us. Specifically, I'm going to talk this afternoon about a quality of character called prudence. Prudence is kind of an old-fashioned word. I don't think it's a difficult word to understand. We're familiar with it, even though it's an old-style word. And we all have at least a general idea of what it means to be prudent. Being prudent, as it turns out, will help us make better decisions and will even help us to stay on the path of life. Let's go back to a familiar section of Scripture once again in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll emphasize something here that we haven't in the past. We've been to this portion of Scripture often, but I want to emphasize something in particular here. We're in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. We're familiar that the emphasis in the book of Proverbs is on practical principles that lay a foundation for a successful and a meaningful life. Wisdom, instruction, perception, judgment. Those are important concepts and principles that we learn and that are emphasized throughout this book. Verse 4 says, to give prudence to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. To give prudence. So the King James says subtlety. It has to do with the way we think and the way that we understand. To give prudence to the simple. Now, we shouldn't be offended by the word simple. The word simple here means one who is young and inexperienced. So a person who is young, an adolescent, the Hebrew word that's translated simple here means one who is not a child, but not yet an adult. It's in that transitional years that we call adolescence, or in other words, our teenage years. We haven't yet had a lot of experience at that point in life. And so one purpose of this book is to help young people learn that quality of prudence. Now, we spend a lot of time in the book of Proverbs on these teen speech club Sabbaths. And we have a series of Bible studies in our club meetings that are lessons from the Proverbs. And I think for good reason, because this book is specifically directed to helping adolescents or teens or young people develop these basic skills of life. But of course, we're reminded that all of these basic skills of life apply to us at every stage of life. It's not just for young people. These are lessons for all of us to benefit from. Verse 4 is translated this way in the Amplified Bible. It says, to give discretion and discernment to the youth. Or the New Living Translation says, to make the simple-minded clever, to give knowledge and purpose to young people. So one purpose of this book is to teach the principle of prudence, with a special focus on teaching that characteristic to young people. Now, you probably recognize Prudence as a girl's name. It was a popular name back in the 18th century among the Puritan culture, along with other names like Faith or Hope or Charity. Prudence is not such a common name now as it had been in the past. In fact, according to the website babycenter.com, Prudence ranks 2,279th among girls' names. The same website says that Prudence is also a boy's name. Now, not surprisingly, it's even less popular as a boy's name than as for a girl's name. In fact, in 2016, boys given the name Prudence, that name ranked 17,492nd in popularity. Anybody know a boy with that name? I don't either. Reminds me of a popular Johnny Cash song from years ago, A Boy Named Prudence. But what does it mean to be prudent? The English word prudence is derived from the Latin prudential. And the Latin word means to see ahead or to be cautious. So the word prudent in our usage means to anticipate an outcome, to exercise foresight. And using prudence then helps us to make the best choice. It's not always easy to anticipate the outcome of an action. But when we do, then we can often save ourselves a great deal of trouble. Prudence is the ability to anticipate the consequence or result of what we're about to do. So the guy who rides a skateboard down a handrail, who thought he could do it, probably would agree in hindsight that he didn't really think it all the way through. Sometimes we can get away with something, or we think we can get away with something, in spite of what we know to be true. And that's especially true of scriptural principles. Frequently, we have an inner struggle where we may know that something isn't what God would have us do, but it sure is something we'd like. And so we find ourselves oftentimes acting in contradiction to scriptural instruction, and only later, in hindsight, we realize, you know, I should have known better than that. Wouldn't it be better to exercise foresight rather than hindsight? Hindsight can be helpful. You can look back on something and learn from it. But wouldn't it be better to look ahead and to avoid some of those difficulties in the first place? Let's consider a little further about prudence, as we'll find in the book of Proverbs. There are several passages here in the book that relate to the quality, the characteristic of prudence. Chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. In the first few verses of this chapter, we find that wisdom is personified. Wisdom is spoken of or presented as a person who cries out to help people, to offer assistance to people, to give them skill in the way that they live. Does not wisdom cry, verse 1, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places by the way of the palaces of the paths, the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. So again, wisdom here is personified as being something that calls out to us to give us the direction and the help that we need to gain the right skills to help us live in a way that will be productive. Verse 5, O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Prudence is a way of exercising wisdom. Wisdom is the understanding we can have, and prudence is a matter of putting that wisdom into practice in our lives. Again, it means to anticipate an outcome, to have foresight, and to make the best choice. Here in this verse, it compares one who is simple with one who is a fool. There's an important difference. The words are similar, but there's an important difference. One who is simple is generally innocent, a younger person who doesn't have the experience that might be necessary to make the right decision. But a fool is someone who should know better. Someone who has opportunity but chooses something else. Someone who does something that will bring about a wrong or an undesired outcome. But they do so based on arrogance or defiance. So prudence is something that gives us protection from ourselves. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I learn and provide special knowledge. Wisdom and prudence go hand in hand. By exercising wisdom and prudence, you'll be smarter. It says you'll find out knowledge. And you'll be able to distinguish right from wrong. You'll have discretion. Prudence is a fundamental part of our way of thinking. And the earlier we apply that principle of foresight, then the better off we're going to be in whatever kinds of decisions we're making. Let's consider some of the basic qualities of a person who is prudent. Again, the book of Proverbs has many different examples of the quality of prudence as it's exercised in a person's life. Let's look at chapter 13, verse 16. Proverbs 13, verse 16. It says, every prudent person deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A prudent person has understanding and will make decisions based on truth, based on knowledge. A fool will just act rashly without giving thought, without considering the action that they're taking. Similar statement is made in chapter 14, verse 15. Chapter 14, verse 15. It says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent person looks well to his going. One who is really thoughtless is gullible and believes whatever they hear. How many people have been drawn into some difficult, painful, disastrous situation because they believed what someone told them without giving thought to it themselves, without applying knowledge, as we saw in the previous verse? They simply act on and behave in a way that is not thoughtful. But a prudent person will not be led astray, will not be led in the wrong direction. A prudent person makes decisions based on understanding. Sometimes that's difficult because we're in a situation where it's easier to go with the crowd or easy to accept what others believe or whatever others say is a right decision rather than thinking it through and understanding it for yourself. The first chapter of Proverbs, we're not going to go back and read that again. We've read it before, but it speaks about not being caught up in the ways of sinners who try to entice you. There are many different ways that we all, young and old, can fall prey to the way that other people would have us be, to the peer pressure, to a desire to be able to go along. But a prudent person will think things through for himself and realize what the outcome is likely to be before making a decision. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaims foolishness. We all know people who just seem to like to talk just because they like to talk. They seem to have nothing really worthwhile, but they want to speak everything that they think they know, and they usually know a lot about everything, at least as far as they're concerned. That's foolishness, according to this proverb. A foolish person just speaks without giving thought or care to what they're saying. But a prudent man conceals knowledge. Doesn't mean that you hide things from other people, but it means that you store up knowledge yourself and you understand and you treasure what is true and you're able to speak it in an appropriate way, rather than trying to show off and trying to be a know-it-all and to speak about things you don't really have the wisdom or the understanding to speak of. That's what a foolish person does compared to the prudent. Chapter 25, verse 11. These are the kind of words the prudent person then will speak. They conceal knowledge. They hold it. They understand it. They value it. They treasure it. And here's what comes then from the mouth of a prudent person. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. In other words, it's like a beautiful piece of art. The words of a prudent person are thoughtful and are meaningful. A prudent person knows what to say and when to say it, rather than being one who just runs off at the mouth. Reminds you of what it says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. And this is something that I think it's pretty easy to illustrate by experiences that you've probably had. Proverbs 17, verse 28 says, "Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise." So people who speak without thought, giving thought, people who are not prudent even in the way that they speak, reveal themselves. They reveal their ignorance. But a prudent person is one, it says here, who shuts his lips, keeps them lips closed, and is considered, because he didn't say anything foolish, people assume that he knows something. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But at least prudence would tell you to back off on this one and let somebody else do the talking. Here's a very important principle in chapter 22, verse 3. This has to do with this foresight, this anticipation of a result or a consequence. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says that a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple person passes on and is punished. One who has this quality of anticipation and foresight recognizes well ahead of time what the danger is and can protect, take steps to avoid falling into that trap. But one who is not prudent just blunders into situations and winds up suffering the consequences for it. The simple stumble into a trap where the prudent are able to anticipate and to be prepared and to avoid difficulty. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't have to happen in life that people can avoid if they exercise this quality of thinking ahead and realizing what the outcome is likely to be. Here's another really interesting one, I feel, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. You know, a lot of the Proverbs really seem to be kind of tailored toward or emphasize teaching young men certain values. And that's really what Solomon had in mind. He was teaching his son. But the principles that are given in this book apply to girls, to young ladies, as much as they do to men. But here's one that is for the young ladies. Proverbs 19, verse 14. "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." Here's how the New Living Translation puts that. It says, "Parents can provide their sons with an inheritance of houses and wealth, but only the Lord can give an understanding wife." Physical wealth is easy. Physical wealth is not that difficult. You can inherit physical wealth, and that's well, and that's good. But a real treasure is a prudent or understanding wife. She is a gift from God. Young ladies who develop prudence will be an incredible blessing to their husbands and families. To learn to apply thoughtfulness and carefulness in their relationships, in their behavior, in the kind of people that they are. You don't have to be named Prudence to be a young woman to have those qualities. And I make a personal comment. I speak from experience. What a blessing a prudent wife is. So it's a specific reminder to all of our young girls to let God guide you as you grow up. And you will be that blessing to your husband and to your family. And of course, a prudent young woman deserves a prudent young man. So our young men, as they grow up, need also to develop that quality. It's going to enable both young husbands and wives to care for each other and to be prepared to care for a family. Very basic, important qualities that will enhance life and help us to avoid difficulties in our lives. So there's a lot here in the book of Proverbs about this characteristic, this quality of character. Let's look at a couple of examples, actually, I think three, of tragic results that can come as a result of not being prudent, of not exercising thoughtfulness, carefulness, and foresight in our behavior. For the first example, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter. And we're going to kind of skim over this, but it's a chapter in the history of Israel where the people of the nation had an opportunity to make a choice and to do so with proper understanding. We're breaking into the middle of the story here. It's where the people of Israel demanded a king. They no longer wanted Samuel to be the high priest who led them and God to be really over the government and Samuel looking to him directly. They wanted to have a king like the other nations around them did. So Samuel is addressing the people when God has actually gone ahead and decided, okay, you can have your king. So Samuel said to the people in verse 20, "Fear not, you've done wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." So it was wrong of them, and Samuel is making that very clear, to have rejected God in order to have instead a king. But he said, continue to serve the Lord with all your heart. And don't turn aside, verse 21, for then you would go after vain things that cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Now, this is an instruction to a group of people, to the nation of Israel. But I think we can apply the principle pretty clearly in our own lives as well. Don't serve anything except God, because if you turn aside from Him, you're going to wind up chasing priorities that are worthless, that don't really lead anywhere. They're empty. Verse 22, "The Lord will not forsake His people for His name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you His people." Just because they were turning away from Him, God was still faithful to His promises, His covenant to Abraham. Moreover, verse 23, "As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Here's wisdom calling out to the people. The good and the right way was being presented to them. Samuel would continue to teach them, even though they now would come under the authority of a king rather than being directly under God's authority. "I'll teach you the good and the right way." But you see, it's up to the people to choose that and to follow it. Verse 24, "Only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He has done for you." All of us can back away from our situations and give thought, careful thought, to the good things that God has done for us and to be thankful to him for those things. We generally tend to focus on things we don't have or don't have yet, that we look forward to, that we'd like. But part of being prudent is being thoughtful and to consider the things that God does for us. If you do wickedly, verse 25, you shall be consumed. Here's where prudence kicks in. We realize, you know, I've got a choice here. I can follow God and be blessed, or I can depart from God's way, do what I would like, live my way, live in a selfish way, a disobedient way. And then there's punishment that will come as a result. If you do wickedly, you'll be consumed, both you and your king. Samuel was, in effect, warning the people to exercise prudence, to live carefully and thoughtfully, to listen to the instruction that he would give to them, so that they would be safe as they followed that instruction. Wisdom is all around us in so many different ways and forms and opportunities. It's up to us to receive it and accept it. Let's turn back to another psalm, or proverb, I should say. We get another proverb here that goes with this particular example, chapter 15, verse 5. Proverbs 15, verse 5. Now, we know that what happened to Israel, the nation of Israel turned from God. The nation of Israel followed after the pagan gods of the people that were around them, and the whole nation was eventually destroyed because they did not anticipate and look ahead. They didn't heed the warning and the instruction they were given. Proverbs 15, verse 5 says that a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. It's easy to resent being told something that we don't want to hear. I remember very clearly some very uncomfortable conversations with my parents when I was in my teen years. There were things that I wanted, some freedom that I wanted, some things that I thought I was ready for that they held me back from, and I didn't like it. And if I had it to do again, I probably still wouldn't like it. Because it's just not natural to be told, to appreciate being told no or being corrected for something that we thought was okay, that we thought was right. But it's foolish to despise the instruction that our parents will lovingly and carefully give to us. But he that regards reproof, in other words, he that treasures and appreciates and respects correction or reproof is prudent. There's a person who's looking ahead. There's a person who is willing to accept. There's a person who recognizes, even if I don't really understand or like the way things have to be, I'm willing to think it through. I'm willing to accept. And understanding will follow obedience. It happens consistently. If we obey, then we'll come to understand. Proverbs 18, verse 15. Proverbs 18, verse 15. Says, the heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A prudent person will seek input and understanding. And sometimes that's going to come in the form of a correction of some sort. But one who is prudent, one who is, again, thoughtful and thinking ahead, considering consequences, considering the results that will come about, is willing to go after and receive knowledge and to seek input that can help us better understand. Now, again, this doesn't just apply, only apply to young people. It applies to all of us. Sometimes as we get older, we're even less inclined to be willing to accept input, willing to accept correction or direction in our lives. the principle is important for all of us to consider. So this was instruction that the people of Israel were being given by Samuel at this critical juncture in their history. Sadly, they didn't have the prudence to accept it and to follow through on what he was telling them. Let's continue here in 1 Samuel. We'll see another example where a lack of prudence led to a very tragic consequence. Well, again, we're breaking into the middle of a story. Saul had been chosen as the first king of Israel. Saul was still under the tutelage of Samuel. Samuel was the teacher. Saul was the leader of the people. But Samuel refused to receive the instruction Saul refused to receive the instruction and to follow the directions that had been given to him. Chapter 13, verse 8. Saul had won a particular battle. He was in a location, and he was told by Samuel, wait there for 7 days. And Samuel said, I will come to you and offer an offering on your behalf to God. Samuel was the one who had that authority and responsibility. Saul had the responsibility to win the battle and then to wait. And he was given that clear instruction. So he waited, it says in verse 8, 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel didn't come. And the people were getting restless. Now, Saul was kind of a novice king. This was early. This was within probably a year or so of after the time he became king. He'd won a battle. The people were all, you know, excited about it and willing to follow him. But then they sat around for a week waiting for something else to happen, and he started to lose control. The people were kind of were scattering. They were moving away from him. They were going other directions. They weren't responding to him. They were being scattered. So Saul foolishly and thoughtlessly took the situation into his own hands. He said, bring the burnt offering to me and the peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offerings. That was not what he had been told. He acted on his own. He stepped outside of what was his responsibility, his authority, and he offered sacrifices, which Samuel was to have done. Rather than waiting, he didn't consider his actions. He was acting he was panicked at losing control of the situation. And don't you know it came to pass, verse 10, as soon as he'd finished giving the offerings, here comes Samuel. Busted. Don't you hate when that happens? Right in the middle of doing something wrong, oops, you get caught. And so Samuel, it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what have you done? What were you thinking? Why did you take this matter into your own hands? Why did you disobey the direct instruction that you were given? Now, Saul goes on to fumble and stumble and try to come up with an excuse and to justify himself. Well, it was the people. They were scattering and you didn't come. And what else was I supposed to do? No prudence in his actions, and certainly not much real rational thought in his response. But you know what this led to? This actually revealed the quality of Saul's character, that he was not one who was willing to follow instructions. And because Saul was not willing to follow the instructions that were given to him, God rejected him as king. He lost his position as a king because he lacked prudence. He didn't think ahead. He didn't give thought to what he was really doing. He based it on his own justification and rationalization. And he was no longer qualified to be king. Verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord is seeking after him, or seeking a man after his own heart. Saul proves he didn't have that heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people. Saul had already lost his position as far as God was concerned. Someone else had already been chosen to take his place because Saul had acted rashly and was not willing to obey and didn't think through what the consequence would be for rejecting his instruction. So who was this person that was chosen to replace him? I think we know that. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. We'll contrast Saul and David. There are many differences between them, many ways to contrast them. But one way that one contrast that we'll see, one difference we'll see, is that David was known to be a prudent young man. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. 1 Samuel 16, 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. You know, again, this is the consequence. This is the result of the mistake that Saul had made, the character that he revealed, that he was not willing to follow God's instruction. The Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. God withdrew his blessing, and he became emotionally unstable because of God withdrawing his spirit from him. Now, some of Saul's servants suggested a remedy. They said, "It's clear that a spirit from God is tormenting you, so let us find a good musician to play the harp for you whenever the tormenting spirit is bothering you. The harp music will quiet you, and you'll soon be well again." Saul said, "All right, find me someone who plays well and bring him here." Verse 18, one of the servants said to Saul, "The son of Jesse is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's brave and strong and has good judgment," or is prudent. David, at a very young age, probably still in his teen years, probably 17, 18 years of age, already had a reputation for being one who not only was a skilled musician, but for being brave and strong and prudent, or having good judgment. That's a quality that we can develop that will make us stand out. A person who has this kind of character and self-control as a result of it is one who will be an outstanding individual, and one who is, by the way, after God's own heart. Why is it described someone who's after God's own heart? It's because a person thinks through his actions and chooses those that will be pleasing to God. That's the kind of decisions that David was known for. So we see that the people of Israel rejected specific and direct instruction that was given to them by Samuel. We see that Saul rejected the instructions given to him and proved that his heart was not right with God. Both actions that were the result of lacking prudence. Let's look at one other example of what can happen if we don't exercise prudence. And this one is pretty tough. Proverbs chapter 7. It begins earlier in the chapter, speaking of, is describing a young man who doesn't have the ability to see beyond the moment. Doesn't have the ability to see beyond the opportunity that he sees to have some pleasure. And he falls into a trap. He falls into it because he doesn't think ahead. And it causes, we'll see what the result of it is. It's truly very serious. I'm going to go down to the end of the description, and we'll begin reading in verse 21. But it's about a young man who allows himself to be seduced into a sexual relationship that leads to his great harm. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21. Says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering of her lips, she forced him or enticed him. He goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he knows not that this will cost him his life. He allows himself to be drawn into a situation that is so enticing and so appealing and so tempting that he cannot control himself or think ahead to what the consequence would be. Now, this is written as a warning to a young man who is seduced by a woman. But, of course, the truth is there are plenty of good-looking, smooth-talking guys out there as well who would be more than willing to take advantage of a young woman. The passage illustrates a principle. It's not just for young men to be warned, but it's for young people to be warned. It's for all of us to consider. Think about the outcome. Think beyond the immediate seeming pleasure that something might bring to us. Don't act on something just because it seems appealing at the moment. The one quality that this young man lacks, as described here in this proverb, that would have saved his life is prudence. If he just could have thought ahead and realized all the misery that would come from the sin that he was being drawn into. Now, it's not just fornication or adultery. It's not just young men. It's, again, many different situations that any of us might deal with at any given time. There are things that seem appealing. There are things that seem to be enjoyable. There are things that we'd like at the moment that could be tragic in their consequence. And we do live, sadly, in an age where it's not unusual for young people and older people alike to literally ruin their lives because of one mistake, one slip, one moment of weakness can lead to a decision that, well, it says here, that cost him his life. Prudence is an extremely important quality for us to exercise, to be aware of, to make part of the foundation of our life. It goes hand in hand with wisdom. Wisdom teaches us what would be the wise thing to do, and prudence is making that choice. It applies in so many different ways. We'll try to start to wrap things up, but let's talk for a few minutes about how to develop this characteristic of prudence. We see how important it might be, but how do we develop, how do we grow in this quality that will help us to see ahead, to foresee evil and avoid it, to avoid the consequences of some of the mistakes we could fall into? I'll give you 3 points, and you can certainly add others, but I'll give you just 3 to think about as we look for ways to develop prudence in our lives. First of all, the key, I think, is respect and obey God's instruction. Respect and obey God's instruction. We saw earlier a proverb that says that a fool despises instruction or the correction of his father. God, as our spiritual father, continually gives us correction and instruction. But we live in a world that is filled with choices and options. There are many different options and choices that we are facing virtually every day. You know, the specifics that we deal with in our life are different, but the choice that each one of us has is exactly the one that was presented to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We have the exact choice and temptation as they experienced. They were given specific instruction by God, but an alternative was presented. Something else was described as being more desirable, more enjoyable, make you a better person, and they fell for the trick. They didn't make the choice that would have required prudence. They chose instead to ignore God. And Satan is playing the same nasty trick today. He twists the truth. He flat out lies. And he makes what he has to offer, what the world around this that he has created has to offer, can seem more appealing than what God has. Easier, more enjoyable, immediate, all kinds of things can come to us that he has to offer. We will not fall into that trap if we respect God's instruction, if we understand and accept it above alternate teachings or opportunities or philosophies that are all around us. Proverbs chapter 4, back to our book of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says, the path of the just is as the shining light. The path of following God's way is following or living in this way of light. Righteousness is pictured, or God's law pictured as this light. A light that shines more and more each day, more and more in our lives. It shines bright in us and for us. The way of the wicked is darkness, and they do not know why they stumble. The wicked don't even understand why they stumble. The prudent live in the way of light, and that brings them the safety that God's way of life will provide for us. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119. We read a section here that begins in verse 9. And once again, I want to read this from the New Living Translation. I just find that it at times helps to clarify the language. It's the same meaning, same principles we find in the New King James, but let's read it from the New Living. First, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay pure? That's a pretty basic and important question. How can a young person keep his life, her life, on the right track? How can a young person prevent becoming polluted by the world that Satan has established? Here's the answer to that question. By obeying your word, that's God's word, by obeying God's word and following its rules. Verse 10, I've tried my best to find you. This is as if speaking to God in desire to have a relationship and to follow him. So I've tried my best to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. This would be an excellent prayer for a young person. Help me to value and treasure what you've given to me. Don't let me wander away from you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your principles. I've recited aloud all the laws you've given us. I've rejoiced in your decrees as much as in riches. I will study your commandment and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your principles and not forget your word. That's how. That's the answer to the question in verse 9. That's how a young person can stay pure. By the way, that's how an old guy can stay pure, too. Those are principles that apply to all of us, to treasure and to value, to study, to reflect on, to meditate, to delight in God's law. Anytime we begin to take God's law for granted or not value and treasure it, then the ice we're standing on is pretty thin. So the first way, the best way to begin to develop the quality of prudence in our lives is to respect and obey God's instruction. Second point, and I'm borrowing this one, by the way, the second point I'm borrowing. A number of different writers have written similar kinds of made similar kinds of statements. But I'll put it to you this way. The second way to develop prudence is to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. Where are you now? Where do you want to wind up? From where you are right now, how do you get to where you want to be? Our ultimate goal is the kingdom of God. But along the way, there are many different decisions that are going to be made. As we walk the path of life, we learn to exercise prudence so that the choices we make will keep us on that path, the path that we want to be on. You know, lots of analogies come to mind, but there are infinite number of paths, infinite number of choices or ways or lifestyles that a person may choose. It says in Proverbs 14:12, you know it well, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. What seems right humanly is not typically the path that will, or the choice that will keep us on the path to where we want to get. Start with the end in mind, and then make sure that the choices you make along the way are keeping you going in that direction. You'll be exercising prudence. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 20. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. This is kind of a spiritual application here of this basic principle. Paul writes that when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. In other words, there are two choices. That's what Paul is emphasizing here. You can either follow God or you can follow not God. There are two choices. And when you follow sin, then you weren't following righteousness. You weren't trying to obey God. And what did that get you? How did that work out? Verse 21. What fruit had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? So if you're walking in a way that's not God's, then in hindsight, you're ashamed of the mistakes that you've made. Again, I'm making the comparison. Isn't foresight better than hindsight? Who wants to look back on things that we're ashamed of? Paul says that's generally the condition that people are in, it's something that we're called out of, and it helps us to make the right choices in the future when we come to understand that we don't want to continue in those ways that are not godly. We want to be slaves of righteousness, as Paul is putting it here. What was the result of not following God? Those led to things of which we are now ashamed, and the end of those things is death. Not following God, think ahead. Consider the consequence. Not being willing to be a servant of God or to be a slave to God or to him in the way that Paul is expressing it here will only end in death. But now being made free from sin, okay, through forgiveness, not that we don't have to obey anymore, but that we're free from the consequence of disobedience through God's forgiveness, we become servants to God. You have your fruit or the future that you're building for yourself now is holiness, and the end is everlasting life. Begin with the end in mind and make those choices that will lead to not things that we're ashamed of, but things that God will bless, that will lead us to everlasting life. Prudence is a matter of making those decisions, and sometimes they're just not easy decisions to make. They're not the ones that are easiest and most pleasant at the moment. But think about where you want your life to end. You know, no one starts out. No one graduates from high school and thinks to himself, okay, now I want to go out there and make myself miserable. Now I want to go out there and I want to ruin my life. So I'm going to go charging off and nobody thinks that way. We make decisions that we think are going to lead us to the results that we want in our lives. But the only way to get there really, respect and honor God's instructions, and then make choices that will lead you to the end result that you really want in your life. We can make those decisions in increments. We can say, okay, where do I want to be a year from now? Wherever we are right now, what do we want to be? Where do we want to be a year from now? What would we like to accomplish? And what areas in our personal life would we like to grow? Mr. Ball was talking about change. What are some of the changes that I'd like to make, that I know I need to make? Well, the only way to get there is to consider the end. What's the change? What's the result I'm looking for? And then make small choices along the way that lead to that result. You can think about a year from now. You can think about 10 years from now. What kind of a career? What kind of a family? What kind of life would you like to have? Don't make decisions now. They're going to mess that up. Make decisions along the way that will build toward what you want to accomplish. That's prudence. One more thought. How can we grow in this quality? It's really kind of almost a repetition of the word itself, the definition. But the third point is going to be, consider the consequence of your choice. Think about what your choice is going to bring about. Choices are hard to make. It's easy to make on paper or in thought, but they're hard to do in terms of how we actually live. We know what we want to be. Paul talks about that in Romans 7. I know what I want to be. I know what I love. I know what I'd like to accomplish, but I find myself stumbling around and going in the wrong way. Very liberal paraphrase. But Paul is talking about that in Romans 7. Consider the consequence of your choices. Let's look at James chapter 1. This kind of goes back to that example we saw in Proverbs of the young man who stumbled into a situation that was going to cost him his life because he wasn't thinking ahead. He was only thinking of the moment. James chapter 1. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Temptation is a booger. Temptation is hard to deal with. Temptation is only something, what it is something you strongly desire and you're being enticed toward. It's something, you're not tempted in ways that are easy for you, that are hard to make. The choice in temptation is difficult to make, is what I'm trying to say. And our desires are strong. We can easily justify and talk our way into accepting or choosing something when we haven't really considered what it is we're doing or what the consequence will be. Our desires are deceptive. Our desires seem to offer pleasure or relief. But the prudent person, as we saw earlier, anticipates the outcome of a decision, anticipates the result, or as it said in the proverb, anticipates evil, and makes a different choice, goes a different way. What happens if we fall into temptation? Well, it's a very serious matter. Verse 12 said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. You're happy, you're blessed, you'll prosper spiritually if you can avoid temptation. For when he is tried, when we do experience and survive temptation, we will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. We can make those choices, but it requires us, in the face of temptation, to make the best choice, to make a wise decision, to exercise prudence. Not easy. Temptation can be seemingly overwhelming. If you could read through the next couple of verses, you'll see that if we fall to temptation, it begins a cycle that leads to death. Temptation leads to sin, and sin leads to death. And so that's pretty serious, and it's important for us to recognize that we can, and we need to be strong in the face of temptation. And one way to do that is to consider the consequence of the choices that we're making. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, we're going to just check another verse here on this thought. Proverbs chapter 11. You know, compare the potential result of the choices that you have in your life. Verse 4, Proverbs 11. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. There are choices that we can make that might lead us to be maybe more physically, have more physical opportunities. But if we make the wrong choices, if we go about trying to enrich our lives in the wrong way, that those physical things are not going to help us when the difficult times come. But righteousness delivers from death. Making the right choices, the consequence of making the right choices is one of deliverance. The righteousness of the person shall direct his way. You know, obedience to God's law provides protection. Obedience to God's law protects us from the consequences that can be very painful and even devastating. And when we are directed by obedience to God, then we're on that path that's going to lead in the direction we want to go. And we've made a choice based on the consequence we're looking for blessing rather than for painful results and consequences. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. In other words, sin a lot of times is self-punishing. When we make a mistake and we go against God's law, the way that the law works, or the way that God's way works, is that sin brings its own consequences. It's in effect self-punishing. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. Again, obedience to God and considering the consequence that comes from disobeying God provides us with protection from what otherwise could be very harmful results. It keeps us in a safe place. And we're thoughtful about the choices we make. We're exercising prudence so that we won't fall into those consequences. Let's conclude in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. We talked about starting with the end in mind and staying on the path that leads in the direction we want to go. That's what this verse is all about. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, says, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. What an incredible opportunity we have, all of us, that God has brought us to that way of life that leads to life. He's brought us to a place that very few are able in this age to experience. He put us on a path that is filled with challenges along the way, but it leads to life. It leads to life in large part because we exercise the quality, the characteristic of prudence. There are a lot of choices that we'll make along this path. There are a lot of them that are very easy. A lot of choices we make that are obvious, that we know that we need to make, and we are willing to do so. But there are other choices that we make that are very difficult, that we don't by nature wish to choose. But when we're prudent, we'll see that many of those kinds of choices are the best ones. They're the right ones. They will keep us on the path to life. We can avoid mistakes in judgment. We can avoid waking up sometime later and asking ourselves, what was I thinking? So consider the value, consider the importance of making what may seem to be the hard choices. Consider the advantage of being able to foresee evil and avoid it. Consider the importance of being able to exercise good judgment and foresight rather than always having to look at something and learn from hindsight. We can be careful. We do have the opportunity to be thoughtful about the way that we live so that we stay on the path of life. And I hope I never see you on a trampoline on America's Funniest Videos.